ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, titled Conversation between Manu and Kardama, verse number 21. Tam tvanubhutyo parata kriyartha samayayavattitalokatantram namamyabhikshnam namaniyapada sarojamalpiyasikamavarsham tam tvanubhutyo parata kriyartha स्वमाययावर्तितलोकतन्त्रम् नामाम्यभीक्ष्णं नमनीयपादा सरोजमल्पीयसि कामवर्षम् तं त्वानुभूत्यो परतक्रियार्था समाययावर्तितलोकतन्त्रम् नामाम्यभीक्ष्णं नमनीयपादा सरोजमल्पीयसि कामवर्षम् तं त्वानुभूत्यो परतक्रियार्था स्वमाययावर्तितलोकतन्त्रम् नमाम्यभीक्ष्णं नमनीयपादा सरोजमल्पीयसि कामवर्षम्
ट्रान्स्लेशन् तं देट् त्वा यु Anubhutya, by realizing, Uparata, disregarded, Kriya, enjoyment of fruitive activities, Artham, in order that, Swamaya, by your own energy, Vartita, brought about, Logatantram, the material worlds, Namami, I offer obeisances. Abhikshnam, continuously. Namaniya, worshipable. Pada Sarojam, lotus feet. Alpiyasi, on the insignificant. Kama, desires. Varsham, showering. Translation. I continuously offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, of which it is worthy to take shelter, because you shower all benedictions on the insignificant. To give all living entities detachment from fruitive activity by realizing you, you have expanded these material worlds by your own energy. Purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Everyone therefore, whether he desires material enjoyment, liberation, or the transcendental loving service of the Lord, should engage himself offering obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, because the Lord can award everyone his desired benediction. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord affirms, Ye yadhamam prabhadyante. Anyone who desires to be a successful enjoyer in the material world is awarded that benediction by the Lord. Anyone who wants to be liberated from the entanglement of this material world is given liberation by the Lord. And anyone who desires to constantly engage in his service in full Krishna consciousness is awarded that benediction by the Lord. For material enjoyment, he has prescribed so many ritualistic sacrificial performances in the Vedas. And thus people may take advantage of those instructions and enjoy material life in higher planets or in a noble aristocratic family. These processes are mentioned in the Vedas and one can take advantage of them. It is similar with those who want to be liberated from this material world. Unless one is disgusted with the material, with the enjoyment of this material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Liberation is for one who is disgusted with material enjoyment. Vedanta Sutra says, therefore, Adhato Brahmajnyasa. Those who have given up the attempt to be happy in this material world can inquire about the absolute truth. For those who want to know the absolute truth, the Vedanta Sutra is available, as is Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual explanation of Vedanta Sutra. Since Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Sutra, by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra or Bhagavad Gita, one can obtain real knowledge. When one obtains real knowledge, he becomes theoretically one with the Supreme. And when he actually begins the service of Brahman or Krishna consciousness, he is not only liberated but situated in his spiritual life. Similarly, for those who want to lord it over material nature, there are so many departments of material enjoyment. Material knowledge and material science are available, and the Lord provides for persons who want to enjoy them. The conclusion is that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any benediction. The word Kama Varsham is very significant, for it indicates that he satisfies the desires of anyone who approaches him. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. Krishna, being very kind toward him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and so he gradually forgets the hallucination. So I'll repeat the sentence again. Krishna, being very kind toward him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and so he gradually forgets the hallucination. Om jnana tibrandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछगल्पदरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पदिदानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्यैमा पुरो विभु निर्मायशेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Hare Krishna. It's a very beautiful verse and purport. I'll just read the translation again. I continuously offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, of which it is worthy to take shelter, because you shower all benedictions on the insignificant. To give all living entities detachment from fruitive activity by realizing you, you have expanded these material worlds by your own energy. So this verse is presenting very beautifully why there is material creation. The material creation is ultimately to get detachment from the material world and to get attracted to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains that the Lord is ready to fulfill the desires of all who approach Him. So the word is mentioned towards the end of this purport and towards the end of this verse, Kama Varsham. So the Lord can provide a shower of benedictions to fulfill the desires of the conditioned beings because He has the capacity. Nityo Nityanam Chedanas Chedananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. There is one person who is distinguished from others, who is separate from others, and who is very special, and that is the Supreme Lord. Because He can Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. He can fulfill all the desires for others. And it is an important point that there can be practically unlimited living entities and there can be unlimited desires. But not even one desire could be fulfilled without the sanction of the Lord. Why? Because the whole material energy belongs to Him. So how is it possible that any desire could be fulfilled without His sanction? So it is impossible. So the Lord has provided a system for that. Even in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter. Kamadhuk. That is, the system is that there are demigods, there are sacrifices. Those who have material desires, they can approach His system and can fulfill the desires. So there is a system provided by the Lord, and ultimately to get detached from the system and go to Krishna's own abode. So this is the general presentation of this verse. That is, okay, one may be attached now, but there is a system by which one can get detached and go to Krishna. In fact, in the beginning of the third canto, now we are in the 21st chapter, in Brahma's prayers for creative energy, there also Brahma addresses the Lord in the similar mood, similar, not the same, but similar, saying, Pumsam sokamai vivakta marge abhyarchitam kama dughang kripatmam pradarshentam kripaya nakentu mayugha bhinnankuli charyupatram. So here Lord Brahma is telling Kama Dukhang Kripatmam. So the Lord's lotus feet is Kama Dukh. Kama Dukh means it is desire fulfilling. Kama Dukh is also addressed as Surabhi. One of the name of Surabhi is Kama Dukh. So who can fulfill all the desires. So the Lord is addressed as Kama Dukh because He can give benediction to fulfill any desires. So if someone approaches the Lord, does the Lord always respond to that devotee? One may wonder. The answer is yes. The Lord always reciprocates to His devotees. Whether one is a pure devotee or one is not a pure devotee. The Lord is ready to reciprocate to all whoever approaches Him. But sometimes silence or inaction can be His response. So we cannot say that, okay, He's not doing anything to me. He is responding. We may not be able to see, but the Lord is always reciprocating. Because the Lord is very personal. Because in our personal relationship, we tend to reciprocate. Sometimes in our reciprocation, maybe we may neglect. We may be silent. We may show as if we are not acknowledging. But that is a conscious action. To do inaction, We need a conscious effort, even in our own life. So think about the Supreme Lord, who is all sensitive, He's all knowing, He can exactly understand what's going on. So if we approach the Supreme Lord, He reciprocates always. This is one important principle that we need to understand. Because we pray to the Supreme Lord every day. It is part of our devotional life to pray to the Supreme Lord. We ask for benediction. So yes, That is the system. Then, if we look into our own life or anyone else's life, we are driven by desires. Many times it can be material desires. But we are driven by desires. And the living entity by nature, the only activity the living entity can perform is to desire by himself, because that is the nature of the soul. Soul can desire, and rest are carried out by the material nature, the controlling demigods, and the Supreme Lord. So a combination of three takes care of the rest. But the soul himself in the material world just desires. So it is our function. And we can see there are so many different kinds of desires. And because of desires, there are so many different kinds of activities. One may need a big house, you know, four-bedroom house, big palatial house. So as devotees, we may desire, then there will be a side condition, okay, to hold a big program. So I need a big house because I want to do a big program. So we have an attachment. So there can be a material desire, a big material desire, and there can be an a side point when it comes to the devotees. Or I need to drive around a BMW. Then as a devotee, we may add one more thing, you know. Maybe my Guru Maharaj comes once a year, so I can drive him around. Or senior devotees come, I can drive him around. So there is a material desire, and then as devotees, there is a tag attached to spiritualize. So it's not pure, but that is there. That's the way it is, right? I need a big salary package. I need the best job. I need the best career path. You know, I want to rise up in the corporate ladder. Why? Because, you know, I can use the money in service of Krishna. So as devotees also, there are desires. It's a reality we cannot neglect. But there is an addition we tend to add, right? Or, you know, if you are in a full-time serving the temple, yeah, I'm serving full-time, so I need to be respected. I need to be heard. Oh, look at my surrender. So these are material conditioning, right? Or, you know, I have my son. You know, he has to be topper in the class. He has to get the best education. He has to be the topper. He has to be the best. And at the same time, he has to be a very nice devotee also. Like that, you know. So there is always both sides to it. You know, on one side there is a material desire, and on other side we want to connect it to Krishna. So, yes, that's what we are actually dealing with. That is the reality. Now, in all this, we need reciprocation. I think about our material life. You know, I remember when I was a kid. If you go to any home, I don't know now what happens. If you go to any home first time, you know, I go with my parents. First is they show the whole house, the lounge, the kitchen, the first bedroom, the master bedroom, the toilet, up to the toilet tiles, all the descriptions are given about everything. So it is not just enough that to possess something, but need to show others. So it was a routine. If you go to any place, it was the first thing. Even after, as a devotee, I remember I went to my cousin's place. It was interesting. Again, as I was wearing saffron as a devotee, they showed me everything. I still saw everything. And then finally, they took me to the balcony. The balcony was a very interesting traditional style balcony. So it was locked. So, and it was very interesting. They opened and showed me. And they told me, we thought. So they were young couples, have, you know, now maybe two kids, probably that time, maybe one kid. So they told, when we got married and when we constructed this house, we thought that this balcony, both of us will sit, we will relax, and, you know, we see this whole scenery and have a good time. It's a good place, nice scenic place, pretty plush green, so we'll have a good time. But we have our son, and one day we were just walking around the home, and we saw he was just hanging out from the balcony down like this, you know, holding. You know, that was the end of it. We locked it up. So I was thinking, oh, look, we have so many big plans for the house, for a nice balcony, but it doesn't last very long. We cannot use it. So I was thinking, oh, it's very interesting. They are telling us, sharing their realization of having this plan, and, you know, they couldn't enjoy. So this is material world. We may have our plans, but it may not always work in our favor all the time. And as devotees, we are observants of our desires. Say, for example, you know, people follow many things, like maybe footy, maybe cricket, maybe whatever. You know, people follow different things, or at least we follow weather. Not as devotees, generally there are people who follow different things. In the same way, a devotee is an observant of his own mind, has to see how we are how the desires are going on in our mind. It is very important. But devotees cannot be completely thinking about, what's happening. We think, am I really making any progress in my spiritual life? Prabhupada says it's very easy to understand. We don't have to ask 10 people, am I really making progress? It is possible to self-evaluate, at least to some degree. That is, how are we going with our desires? How is our mind? How is it, what kind of desires are coming to our mind? A very good thought process, is a good contemplation to see what's really happening to my mind. In my dealings with the devotees, what is the driving factor? We can see sometimes it's shocking. Sometimes some devotees help. In the situation you acted or you spoke in this way, those who are well-wishers, they speak sometimes, you acted in this way or you spoke in some way, in this way. Then one day I took a sheet of paper and just tried to write down the points why I acted or spoke in this way. And it was shocking. I got myself detached and tried to be detached as much as I could and tried to write down. Okay, I spoke. Okay, this was my desire behind. Actually, then I could see the desire was, this strong material desire for this or that. That actually prompted me to act or talk in this way. See, so when you look, okay, we can see, we have to be observant of our own desires because that will lead to speech and action. And that will lead to further consequences in our own devotional life. So we have to see what are the driving factors, driving desires in our own mind. It is a significant point. Now I would like to make two topics in today's class. One is, how can we deal with our desires, especially material desires? That is one, material desires, of course. How to deal with material desires? That is a devotee's perspective. And second, how the Lord deals with his devotees' desires. So both are centered around material desires. One is our perspective, and the next one is the Lord's perspective. So when we see our perspective, there are broadly, at least we can see, four ways in which we can deal with our material desires. So first one is not recommended, but that's what's going on in this material world. So that is, just if there is a material desire, just act on that. So there is no guiding principle. It's just act, the gross sense gratification or subtle sense gratification. So that is unrestricted sense gratification. So that is one way of dealing with material desires. Then that definitely it is not recommended for us. Second is the restricted sense gratification, which are authorized by the Vedic literature. So that is what is mentioned in this verse. That is, the Lord himself has provided means for that. He has provided all the Karmakanda. For example, we say in the Karmakanda is the main body of text in the Vedic literature. Because people have a lot of material desires. The Lord acknowledges that and he provided the whole system. Okay, if you want to gratify the senses and the mind, okay, at least follow my system. So the Lord is very considerate. We think the Lord is not very considerate. We have so many material desires and, the Lord, he's only asking, complete surrender, right? He does ask complete surrender, Bhagavad Gita, Ananya Bhakti. Many places it's mentioned, Ananya Bhakti, Mamekam Sharanam Raja. The Lord is demanding, okay, exclusive worship unto him. Oh, but at the same time, see how the Lord is very considerate. There is a whole volume of literature explaining if one has material desires, how to fulfill those in conjunction with the Lord's teachings. So that is the other side of it. So that's why there is Varnashram. Varnashram system, it helps us to work in the material world, function within the material world, and at the same time work towards the spiritual world. So it provides that system. Now, there can be desires which can be within the boundary of one's Varna and Ashram. Then it is okay, because the ashram defines certain desires could be fulfilled within one ashram, whether it's brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Okay, it could be within that boundary. Then it's okay, there is a way to gratify those desires. But if it actually goes beyond that boundary, then one has to be careful, because then one is falling down from that particular ashram. One has to be very careful. What are the boundaries of the ashram in which we are situated? Whether it will be grihastha, brahmachari, vanaprastha or sannyas. So this is varnashram. It is providing a boundary. Okay, it is fine. We have some material desires, but follow certain rules so that one can go beyond later point. But follow the rules and be engaged in Krishna service. So this is one way of, that is providing that system in which one is following the Lord system and fulfilling the desires. That is the system as mentioned in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, prasavotishta kamadhuk, as you know, sahetnya prajapokta. That is okay. All the sacrifices have been created along with the creation. So there are demigods who can award the material benediction, and there are sacrifices unto them. You perform the sacrifice, and being in the cooperation with the demigods, you fulfill the material desires. So this is one aspect. Now, this is the second point. The first point was unrestricted sense gratification. Second, restricted sense gratification according to the guidelines of Vedic literature. And the third, if we have material desires, Srila Prabhupada very strongly mentioned this point, it is to neglect. If mind is coming with some sense gratificatory plans, neglect. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th chapter, I think last two verses given by Jadabharat in his teachings, he makes this point, upekshaya. Upeksha means neglect. So Prabhupada starts the purport with this strong sentence. He says, if you want to control your mind and senses, or basically, if you want to control your mind, then there is a way, and that is neglect. That's it, the first sentence is that. So it's a very important point. This is the third way, and it's a very powerful way of dealing with the mind, neglect. If there are desires which are not within the boundary of our ashram, then neglect. Or which are against the devotional principles, then neglect. Don't get it, don't dwell into it. We create always problem. It is not just because of one material desire that comes to our mind. What happens next? Dhyayato. Then we actually meditate upon that. And that linger within our mind. And we want to, then it actually expands. So one tiny desire become, it actually consumes our whole mind. Then when the mind is consumed, then it can come out as speech or action. So first is that small bit that is coming all the way through. So that is the meaning why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, next point mentioned by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is beat the mind with the, you know, the shoes and the stick, you know, morning and night. So that is coming after that. Seeing, okay, you punish, and that is by basically chanting. But the first principle is, even in chanting, is neglect. If you don't neglect our mind, we can't chant. It's very difficult because mind is going to tell so many different things. It's a very important point to neglect. And fourth point is, yeah, it is not just enough to neglect the mind, but to engage in service of Guru and Krishna. So that is, Jadabharat that is making that point, that one has to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga, Krishna basically. So that is the way, by sublimating our material desires into a tangible spiritual activity, one can neglect the mind, and at the same time, one can get spiritual perfection. So this is the path. So these are four things. So we cannot go for this unrestricted sense gratification. And even restricted sense gratification, one has to be very careful. It has to be within the boundary, and one has to be very careful how much advancement one wants to make in the spiritual life. And the third and the fourth, they couple together and they go together. That is the best. That is neglect. Upekshaya and engage in Krishna's service. So this is the way we can, broadly, how we can deal with our material desires. And Srila Prabhupada makes this very interesting point, last but one sentence of this purport. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. We may not be sincerely loving Krishna, but at least we have a part of us really loves Krishna, a part of us. It may not be the whole, our whole existence, but at least we are devotees, so part of us, we love Krishna, we like Krishna. But at the same time, we have material desires, and if one cannot neglect, then what happens? So that's where the Lord makes a very interesting point. Here, he says, you know, he is merciful to engage such a devotee in devotional service and to purify him and to transcend such desires. So there is a whole section of Chaitanya Charitamrita and dealing with this. And just one verse, one particular verse from Bhagavatam also is quoted. It's very interesting. The Lord is speaking here. So it's in the Sanatan Shiksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatan Goswami. It is a very, very interesting section. I'll just read some of the points because it is very, very relevant to this purport. So it's in the Madhilila. Anyakami yadi kare krishna rabhajan namagecha krishna tare dena swacharan. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the absolute truth engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Although they did not ask for it, Krishna is therefore very merciful. Now it explains how it works and what the Lord thinks about the whole thing. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishaya sukha amrita chadi vishamage ebada murkha. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Okay, we can see ourselves. Okay, we have material desires. But this is what Lord is telling. If you are already engaged in my service, and still if you want some material desires, the Lord is saying, a bada murkha. Not just murkha. Murkha means fool. It's not a small fool. You are a big fool. Bada murkha. So, yeah, then why? He's very, very foolish. Why? Indeed, he gives a comparison. The comparison is very interesting. Amrita chadi vishamage. Amrita chadi vishamage. He is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Ambrosia. So he's giving some nectar and he's given nectar and poison side by side. But we want the poison instead of ambrosial nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. That's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is ready to give anything spiritual, but he still wants something material. So, yeah. Ami vigya e murkhe vishaya kene diba swacharanamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. So, the deal is pretty good. Krishna is very smart. He's saying, I am very intelligent. You are fool, but I am very intelligent. Isn't it good? The Lord is telling. The Lord knows everything. He's very clear. He has no misconception in dealing with us. He's telling, I am intelligent and you are a fool. So he's telling, since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Why should I give this fool a material prosperity? The Lord is telling us. It's very personal, isn't it? And then, instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet. I induce him. Clearly, you know, we had to understand this word very clearly. Induce. So he'll make sure. Okay, if we are sincere, or at least some amount of sincerity there, and if we are moving forward in our spiritual life, then the Lord will induce. So the Lord has his ways and means to pull us towards him. If you think we won't get purified, no, the Lord will make the arrangements. That's why we think, you know, oh, why is it for me? Oh, why is it happening to me? Only for me? You know, we think so many different directions because the Lord is inducing. Okay, then he says, and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. So when one actually thinks about the Lord, then it is we forget the material enjoyment. So this is Mattap Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. So if the Lord desires, he can give, he reciprocates to his devotees by giving forgetfulness of material desires. So this is the benediction of the Lord. That is the benediction of the devotees, that if we get think we don't have any, we forget completely about our material desires, how good it is. Then we can definitely think about Krishna. What is coming in between us and thinking about Krishna? We want to think about Krishna and we want to serve Krishna nicely in Krishna consciousness, in full Krishna consciousness. But what is coming in between? It is our material desires. It can take any different kinds of shape and form. Anarthas, we can have the whole analysis of it. But in principle, it is a material desire. So the Lord is telling, I will induce one to go and take shelter of his lotus feet. And in that way, one actually forgets all the material desires. So this is the benediction of the Lord. Then it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada, again, a beautiful purport on this point. Satyam dishatyarthitam arthito niranam naivarthito yat punararthito yatha swayam vidhatte bhajatam anichyatam icchabhidhanam nichapada pallavam. This is from the fifth canto, the prayers of the higher beings from the higher planets. They are glorifying the Supreme Lord because he exactly knows, even if one approaches the Lord with material desires, what to do. Because what he does, he will fulfill the material desire. Satyam dishati arthita arthito yatha. He will fulfill the desire. But naivarthito yat punararthito yatha. If Krishna may give some material benediction, in that way, one may initially feel satisfied, but he will do in such a way that one doesn't ask again. So that is punarathatoyata. One will not go to him again for that. So the realization of a devotee, it was such a waste of time. We have to look back into our life and we have to see whatever desires we had, the material desires, even as a devotee. And how did Krishna fulfill those desires? And we think now that, it was such a waste of time. So this realization is the gift of the Lord. Because if we don't learn straight away, if we still go with our material desires, and if we continue our devotional practices, then the Lord does reciprocate. And he will give this reciprocation. It was a waste of time. I just wasted my time. So this is a reciprocation. Then he says, so that is coming from the last two lines, that is, Swayam vidhatte bhajatam anichyatam icchabhidhanam nijapadapallavam. Nijapadapallavam, his lotus feet. Here in this verse also, there is a mention of Krishna's lotus feet. What is the glory of Krishna's lotus feet? That is icchabhidhanam. Icchabhidhanam means covering all other desires. Abhidhanam. You may have so many different kinds of desires, but if one develops the desires to serve the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, and if one actually gets the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, then that satisfies all other desires. So the Lord's lotus feet is known as Icchabhidhanam. That is Nija Pada Pallavam. So then he mentioned Swayam Vidhate Bhajatam Anichyatam. So even if one approaches the Supreme Lord, as it is mentioned before, bhajatam, one worships the Supreme Lord, but anichyatam, one doesn't really want to surrender. One doesn't really want Krishna's lotus feet. He doesn't really want. Still, the Lord is ready to give. Anichyatam, vichyabhidhanam, nichapadapalam. So one gets actually the Krishna's lotus feet, then one will not have any other desires. He just simply wants to serve Krishna. So then all the desires are completely spiritual, only in relation to serving the Supreme Lord. So this is the mercy of the Lord. And in fact, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes this point. How one can forget all other material desires? He says, when one understands the sweetness of Krishna, when one wants to serve him, when one understands the sweetness of Krishna, one really wants to serve him, that point, then he starts forgetting the material desires because he is tasting something higher. So this is the essential principle. And on a higher realm, Yes, this is the way. The Lord is thinking about us, and this is the way the Lord is going to reciprocate with us, and this is the way He is reciprocating with us right now if we have material desires. And it will award this realization. It was not worth. What we did, it was not worth. This is the realization. You know, example is there, of course, Dhruva Maharaj. He says, you know, it was not worth. He says, what's the use? Everyone had this realization. It's not worth. So if we still have the material desires, we have the material desires. And if we actually desire to fulfill them, then Krishna will give this realization. So it's like the climax of the movie. We can understand now itself. We will get this realization. Then one will be able to take shelter of the Lord more and more. And on a higher sense, yes, the Lord increases the spiritual desires. So that is the quality of the Supreme Lord. That is one of the benediction upon the Supreme Lord to His devotees, that how much ever service one does, or how much ever one get purified, even if one becomes the pure devotee, still one will not get satisfaction. One will have more desires to serve Krishna. Even Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Lord gives this benediction. Or Narada Muni asks the Supreme Lord this benediction. Even if one does all the services to the Supreme Lord, all service, still, he shouldn't feel that, you know, I have done enough. He should feel that I haven't done enough. So this is the benediction of the Lord. So that is bhakti. So even if we do whatever service, we will never get satisfaction in the sense, you know, I have done enough for Krishna. It will never come. So that is the benediction of the Supreme Lord. And it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, with respect to the residence of Vrindavan, that how the Lord actually increases the desires. He increases the desires of the devotees, spiritual desires. Vardhayan Kamadevam. Prajapura Vanitanam Vardhayan Kamadevam. He is increasing the desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. So that is one of the quality of the Lord. So He increases the spiritual desires. So on one side, the Lord diminishes and vanquishes all the material desires, and on the other side, He gives the spiritual desires and He increases our spiritual desires. So this is Krishna consciousness. So it is all about desires, from material to spiritual. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections. Yes, Prabhu. There is difference between resisting and neglecting. Neglecting is a kind of indifference. One knows that there are some desires, but one is not acting upon that desire, and one is not dwelling into that desire. One is not feeding that desire. And at the same time, yes, there is opposition to that desire. That is engaging in devotional service. So we are acting against those desires by engaging in devotional service. So we are not straight away responding to that desire. Okay, I have some desire coming to my mind, immediately saying, you know, I will counteract with some other thought. That's not going to work anyway. We cannot counteract one thought with another thought and nullify, because that's not the way mind can be handled. Mind will not work like that. So rather we need something higher, superior. So we neglect and engage in devotional service. That is one approach. That's not the only approach. That is the couplet which can go together. Yeah.
And the second part is, you mentioned we should, once we taste the sweetness of Krishna, you won't think about what it is. How would you explain that when we produce the sweetness of Krishna?
Yeah. That we can experience if we do devotional service, chanting. So Krishna gives some sweetness. As a sadhaka, we will not be completely absorbed in the sweetness of Krishna all the time. That is a sadhya, is a perfect devotee. A sadhaka or a practicing devotee, Krishna is merciful. If we engage in Krishna service, if we chant his holy name, if we conduct our spiritual life, then Krishna gives some sweetness. He reveals some amount of his sweetness to us. Everyone can experience taste for chanting, taste for doing service, taste for association with the devotees, taste for prasadam. So Krishna reveals some sweetness in one form or other, even for a sadhaka. But for a sadhaka, cannot have that steadily. We wish to, but it's not steady. Krishna gives, saying, okay, here we go. Yeah, there is something. You take it, you taste it, you understand what it is. Krishna gives to everyone, here and there, to keep us going. Got an idea? Any further questions, comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.